Pleasure tonight to hand over to our second speaker, who is John.
Thanks, John.
Hi, my name's John and that it.
Hi, John.
I really hate the sound of my own voice. I really don't like the sound. But thanks for asking me to come down and share. It's been a while since I came down to this meeting, and it's really good to see this kind of big, strong, vibrant meeting in the centre, real centre of London. The cab driver's called Charing Cross, just across the road there. That's the exact centre of London, and it's really good to see a really big, powerful meeting carrying a message. And I was asked to do the chair, someone asked me to do the chair about a month ago, and I didn't rehearse in my head. I'm lying now. It's my first lie. But what it is, what I've worked out, why I get kind of, I get nervous, I get, because I love being clean. I really, really, really love being clean, and I love being in recovery. And I'm really passionate about it, and I want to come across as a bit of a cool cat, a bit blasé about everything, you know what I mean? But I don't know if I'm swearing or whatever, but I love recovery. I love being in recovery. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I'd like to thank Emily. I think Emily's chair was absolutely fantastic. I think it kind of blew me away. I came into recovery because I love drugs, but drugs didn't love me. It was an unrequited love affair. I wanted to be a really, really good drug user. I wanted to be a bit of a legend. You know what I mean? You go out with that, John, you'll come back 3 days later and you'll be smashed and you'll carry on. And say, look, I've got to cut you loose, son. You're going to carry on. You're a bit of a lightweight. But I was the lightweight. You know what I mean? And I've got some funny stories and sad stories. And what happens in recovery, I think, is like the sad stories become the funny stories and the funny stories become the sad stories. And that's what happens. And I turned up at this meeting, and I turned up in a meeting in Mill Lane in West Hampstead on a Friday night, which is no longer there. And a guy came round my house, and I've known this guy since I was 11 years of age, and we were both 31. So we'd had 20 years and doing what we was doing. And I hadn't eaten for about 4 days, and I hadn't used for about 4 days, but the last bit of using I'd done, that day, I'd been drinking vodka. I was a boozer, you know what I mean? I'd like booze and I'd do a bit of coke and I'd booze and I'd like a bit of puff and I'd booze and a bit of prescription pill, booze. And there's a lot of booze involved, yeah? Booze and booze. And booze. That's funny, anyway, you know, I used to like to drink vodka on an empty stomach. Right? And without going to euphoric recall, some kind of like, but anyway. And I hadn't used for 4 days, and I hadn't kind of eaten for 4 days either. If you don't eat for 4 days, you'll go into quite a wiggy place, right? And I ended up kind of going to this meeting, and the guy doing the chair was one of the chaps. I'd known the guy, I'd known the guy from around and from around North London and all that, and he was doing step three chair, right? And he was talking about God, and he was talking about walking across Hampstead Heath, you know what I mean, with this rain going down his neck and now he absolutely loved it, and the tree, hello tree, and hello wind, and all that. Last time I seen the guy, he'd offered me out. And so I obviously thought it was a bit of a get-up. I've got all these posters together and they've all set, and he's come in, and here he comes, he's going. Which is kind of grandiose and kind of a bit mad, but anyway, I went to me anyway, he's talking about, yeah, man, and you know, this. And I was completely kind of wigged out, and there was a recovery text there, so I was just, you know, take a recovery text, mate, we've got loads, we're trying to give them away, trying to get rid of them, you know. And the woman I really identified with was this woman, she was East European, I don't know who she was and where she is now, you know, I mean, if she's still alive even, right. She was talking about, she says, my head is like a radio, and it's on 4 radio stations at once. You know the thing where it kind of in the morning and a bit of a sudden, you know, moves over there, old fashioned radio. And I thought, I get you, love. I really get you, you know what I mean? I, you know, because I'm completely smashed here. I don't know, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know what I don't know. That's the problem, you know what I mean? And but thinking about it, right, what I did get in all the kind of chat and all the kind of white noise was people talking about body, 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 bar, powerless. You are powerless over this. Body, 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 bar, once too many, a thousand, never enough. And they told me something that I knew, but I didn't know I knew it. It was kind of quite weird, you know what I mean? I've been kind of primed, My using, the last 5 years of my using was like, I didn't use every day. I used to kind of save it all up. I used to be a very nice guy, very no, hello, please, thank you, and all that, you know what I mean? And then I was like, I'm starting to get some Hitchcock feel. When I use, do you want a drink? I said, oh, I haven't had a drink in a little while. I can't do any harm, could it? And it, you know, in them old films, when the guy disappears under the settee and he comes in and he comes back to werewolf. Do it, that fucking molly. Fuck off. Get that truck, sorry, and all that fucking holding people up and bashing people up and women saying, oh, this guy, what happened? He was on, he was really charming, you know. Then he had half a bottle of vodka and he was, and so anyway, I couldn't use my terms. I couldn't do it how I wanted to use it. I wanted to be, like I say, I wanted to be a bit of a legend. And when I was around this time, you know, because we're talking about the end of the 80s, and what happened, there's a lot of guys, I'd call them straight cars around drugs, and they'd never done drugs, never done drugs, never done drugs. All of a sudden, they're doing AIDS. All right, mate, you're my mate, I'll be hugging you, kissing you, all that, you know. And I'm trying to stop. And they're all getting into it, you know what I mean? So, anyway, I hung out with a lot of guys who were caners, you know, they could cane it. And then on Sunday night, they go, I've got to go to work tomorrow, I've got to go to Ibiza tomorrow, I've got to go here tomorrow, I've got to do this tomorrow. I'll have a little glass of wine, and that's what I'll do, and they'd get on the plane. Or they'd go to work, and I think, how the fuck do you do that? I could not work out how to do that, because when I was on it, I was either on it or I was on it, you know, it's full on, full off. And what these guys at this meeting explained to me, they were talking about, you know, like Johnny, you know, powerless, this is what we've got, we're powerless over addiction, we're powerless over using, you know what I mean? When you crave, right, you think you're craving, right? You think you're craving, right? And when you use, you don't satisfy craving, you create craving. That's what happens. You kind of give power to, you know, you kind of like, you give momentum, it gathers momentum. Right. And I'd start off using, and I'd, you know, but I'd gather momentum. I'd speed up rather than slow down. These caners, they'd slow down. I'd speed up. I'm an addict, right? You sit there with kind of, you're doing a bit of coke with one of these caners. You say to them, "Do you ever feel like killing yourself?" They go, "Fuck you." Do you ever feel like pushing people under train? I'm going to leave you there. I'm going to go. Because I've got that mad thinking, you know what I mean? I don't know where it comes from, I don't know where it goes, right? I've got kind of crazy thinking, you know what I mean? My step one is about, when I use, I go to a very ugly, dark place. The second part of that is my thinking is unmanageable. I need help with that. Because, you know, I can kind of like, put two and two together and get a giraffe in a top hat. That's where my thinking goes. Do you know what I mean? I can kind of sit at home and I think everything's nice, you know, it's very nice. And I can make problems for myself. I like a bit of grief. I like self-destruction. I like a mess. I like chaos. I like chaotic people. I like chaotic women. You know what I mean? That's where my head goes. So I went to this meeting and I got lashed up with literature. I kind of took it all home. I was kind of reading it kind of out and up. I tried to kind of my experiment was that if I'm in harm, I'm not an addict. You know, these guys got it all wrong, you know what I mean? I'm going to go and get 8 cans of Red Stripe and half a bottle of vodka. I'm going to prove I'm not an addict. Right. Now, if someone who wasn't an addict would probably get like a bottle of white wine. But an addict, right? we'll get to and cut to in the movie, right? Which folks kind of, I'm in kind of kebab house in kind of, I think I'm in kebab house. It's all coming back to me 20 years later. I'll be hypnotised and everything, you know. Anyway, it got ugly. I ended up in, I was on this mattress, right? I'm in the mattress in the basement flat, and the sheets was off the mattress. I pissed the mattress many times. I've not kind of washed or eaten properly again for about a week. I'm drinking vodka on an empty stomach. I'm constipated, like I'm all over the gap. I catch myself in a mirror. I look like a fucking animal. I'm thinking it didn't really start like this. You know what I mean? It wasn't meant to be like this. And somewhere in there, I said, God help me. And you know what I mean? God help me. God help me. And from that day to this, I've not used this 23, about 23 and a bit years ago. And I'm not, you know what I mean, kind of, people said to me, look, make the higher power, God, make it the group, make it your mates, make it people who look best for you, you know, make it this, make it that, make it whatever you want, you know what I mean. If that stops working, you'll have to have a rethink. And I've never had to have a rethink, to be honest. It's worked, you know what I mean. And if it stops working, I will have a rethink, you know what I mean. This is not a religious program. You know, so don't get me started about religion, because I will kind of drive you nuts. Right? It's a bad religion, right? But, well, I don't actually, you know what I mean? But, so anyway, I stopped using after this kind of sort of whatever it was, whether it's kind of, I had a spiritual disintegration as a result of my using. And I just thought, this doesn't work anymore. And I saw it. I saw what people said. You know, I mean, you're full on, you're full off, right? And because I'm an extremist, right? I'm all the way right, all the way wrong. I've got high expectation, no expectation. I'm an extremist, right? The idea of sort of complete abstinence kind of suited me. Full blast or nothing. Full blast. I kind of got it. I thought, yeah, this, you know, I know where I'm at with this. There's no wall charts to fill. There's no unions to count. Do you know what I mean? There's no little groups to say we're going to go and use every fourth weekend or whatever. You know, just that's it. What don't you get? Nothing. That's it. Nil, zero, nada. What don't you get? Something. So it kind of suited me, you know what I mean? And I realised that I came here, I didn't really have a desire to stop using, to be honest. I had a desire to stop the consequences of my using. There's a difference, right? And what I've worked out over the years, and I've seen a lot of people come and go, right, and a little bit of history here, is like when AA started their traditions, they had the steps, they had no traditions, they introduced the traditions, right? And tradition three said, the only requirement for membership is a sincere desire to stop drinking. Sincere, right? Now, what them alkies worked out pretty quick, right, was asking people if they had a sincere desire to stop drinking was very bad for business. Right? Because people say, are you sincere about this? Because my wife's driving me, I'm worried because the judge's driving me, I'm here because, you know, I'm going to keep crashing my car, I'm here because you're going to teach me how to drink properly, like Thomas. And no, you go, so what they done, the alkies, right? Alkies just sent out addicts, right? You know, now addicts can be extremely flexible when it suits them. Right? When it suits them, right? They took it out. They fucking banished it. It's gone. So all you've got to have, right, and all I've got to have is a desire to stop using. When I come here, that's all I've got to have, you know what I mean? A tiny little desire to stop using. And that's kind of why I went. I went there, I didn't like anyone, I judged people, I judged their accents, I judged their clothes, they're cool, they're not this, they're not that. Then I worked out that I needed these people. And that was a bit of a dilemma for me, you know what I mean? Because what had happened when I went to that first meeting, like, it's like they'd set up a conflict. And the conflict was that I walked in there and there's these people and they was the same as me. Same accent, same clothes, same background, same everything. And they would stop using, they were getting on with their lives. And it was like the good news was they stopped using and getting on with their lives, and the bad news was they stop using and getting on with their lives. You know what I mean? That's a bad news. Good news and bad news at the same time. But what it done, it took away my excuses. And I like an excuse for me. I like to have someone to blame, you know. And I like someone it's all his fault, you know what I mean? But I kind of went to meetings, didn't go to meetings. I kind of come into it slowly. But I didn't use, right? Because all, you know, the last time I'd used, it was kind of quite terrifying, to be honest with you. It scared the shit out of me, because where I come from is I'd see my mother kind of have nervous breakdowns on a regular basis. I'd seen her kind of disintegrate. I'd come home, right, my Irish family, you know what I mean? And my dad had left when I was about 2 or 3, I'm not even sure. And I'd come home, and sometimes it'd be kind of like a stew with carrots and potatoes, and sometimes my mum would just be on the sofa, just kind of completely out of the cave. And I had a fear that the family illness wasn't addiction, that it was actually schizophrenia. And that was my fear. And every time I kind of used, I end up in this really, really mad place. So I thought to myself, it's probably not a good idea to use. But living life just kind of out there, raw, crisp as it is, bright as it is, really scared the shit out of me. And at the time, the Evening Standard, they used to have this cartoon, it was The Far Side, Gary Larson, The Far Side. And I tore one out and I put it up on the wall in this basement flat where I was living in. And what it was, right, there was a guy, and it says the Gates of Hades, and it's like an airport check-in, you know what I mean? It's got the Gates of Hades, and the devil is at the front of the queue. And he's saying to the customer, the first customer, he says to him, do you want Inferno or non-Inferno? Actually, it's all Inferno, I just get a kick out of saying that. And I stuck it up there, I didn't know why I stuck it up there, but for years later I worked out that what it was, right, is I was an addict who wasn't using but didn't have programs. It was all Inferno. It was all just fuckery. It was all just, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I communicate? All this stuff Emily was talking about is that stuff under attack from myself. You know what I mean? The self-worth stuff. Don't do anything. Don't say anything, John. You know, you'll get it wrong. You'll get... Just don't do anything. And so I was kind of sort of like, I was just going, well, what do I do? What do I do? And all that. Now, two guys said to me one day, said, listen, John, you need to go into treatment, all right? I was about 20 months clean, right? And they said to me, you need to go into treatment, all right, down in Wiltshire, all right? And when you go there for 6 weeks and they straighten you out, John, and they get you, they work your way out, and then you come back, you get a really nice council flat down by the canal in Regent's Park. And I'm coming up, you know, it's pretty nice, you know, and French doors open out, so I get French girlfriends, find French fans, you know, play jazz, like Sunday mornings, you know, and scramble, I could see it, you know, and they sold it really well to me. I said, you know, it's just like just imagination. Just add imagination. And then they just said, oh, right, okay. I said, it's a piece of history, you know, in form, give you money to pay the gap. And what more could you ask? Anyway. And away I went, right, down to Wiltshire, right. And it was what it was, right, it's like, I wasn't there 6 weeks, I was there a year. Right? But after about 10 minutes in there, I worked out that I needed to be there. I worked out to be kind of conned with love, deceived with love, if you like. And it was step one, it was step two for me. And it was kind of about asking for help, and it was about kind of opening up and telling people who I was, and all the mad stuff I believed about myself, and all the stuff about kind of like my childhood and the stuff that I'd kind of taken on board, all the baggage and... what I've worked out in recovery, right, it's only 23 years, is I'm not as complicated as I'd like to think I am, right? And it also, as much as I've learned a great deal in recovery, it's about what I've unlearned about myself, the shit I've done, the stuff I've dropped. Where did you get your information, John? Who told you that? And what it was, there was a guy in a meeting not so long ago, and he was talking about, he says, I met my first sponsors in the pubs in South London. I looked at these guys, and they never went to work, and they always had money, and they always had girls around, and they always had drugs, and they were my first sponsors. They were the first people I looked at, thought, I want some of that. And that's what my old brother's mates, they was kind of a bit like that, and I thought, that's what I want, that's how I want to be. So I had to unravel all that, get rid of all that, and kind of say, well, who do you want to be? What do you want to be, John? And that was kind of step two, kind of believing this stuff will work for me. And step three for me, now and then, was about accepting the help on offer. There's help on offer here. But me, if you say to people in the street, say, asking for help and accepting help, that's the same thing, isn't it? Not to an addict, am I? You know what I mean? It's all right. It's completely different things. That's why they're completely different steps. But I need to kind of like start to accept stuff. Help that people love me, you know, and that, you know, people were there for me, you know, that people couldn't sort me out and fix me, but they could kind of help me to help myself. I wrote step four, which was kind of, I'm not lying there, it was legendary. It was kind of like, they looked at me wrong. She left. There's bits of it, bits of it was broken down. It was like a stage play, you know what I mean? She stood at the door and turned around and said this. She exits stage, you know, and other bits, you know what I mean? Kind of like it was just bang, 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 heavy duty stuff, you know, kind of paragraphs. I mean, it's kind of quite weird. And I sat in this room with a guy who I still see today, a guy who's down in Brighton, and I saw him at a funeral not long ago, and he was talking about having a laugh, and, you know, I mean, he's still in recovery, I'm still in recovery. And I sat there for 3 weekends on the spot, on the trot, talking about my stuff, which wasn't that interesting, I'm afraid, you know what I mean? I had to kind of lean over and kick his foot, keep him awake up all the time. Because it was the same mistakes. And who do you resent, John? I resent John. Who do you... And let him get away with it. And then he said that. And but the thing that struck me, right, was he said to me, I wrote this extensive step four, and I said, I thought he was going to go away and going to write a report. I thought he was going to write an equally fat, you know, like kind of feedback thing, and it comes to where it should go next, a plan, or a roadmap for me. And he said to me, you know what, John, you need to take your handbrake off. I said, do what? He says, you're like a guy sitting in a motor, and he's got his foot on the pedal, accelerate up. The smoke coming out the bonnet, and he hasn't worked out, he's got the handbrake on. I said, do what? And he was halfway out the door. I said, well, who's that idiot? And she said, he's going to bless me. I thought he's going to be well. It's holy water. So. And he said, take your foot off your throat. Take your foot off your throat. You know, kind of, you know, get yourself some flares, is my mate Paul says. You know, kind of live a little. And then, allow yourself out. And I said, what? Because you know, I was always kind of very cool guy, it's a cool catch on and all that, you know what I mean? But, you know, it could get boring after a while, you know, boring for me, boring for everyone, you know what I mean? So anyway, like, step six was kind of where the magic starts. For me, I love step six. I love to talk about steps. Step six is kind of about, you know what I mean, it's about kind of... I was in the States, right, and there was a guy kind of get up, and they have these meetings about 10 minutes long, Charlie will tell you, when you sit down and get comfortable, they're gone. You know, they're really quick meetings, right, now kind of bang, 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 you know, they're kind of like... And there was a guy there, he's doing this chair, and he was talking like an auctioneer. And he said, look, the steps are, step two, get ready, step three, go. Step four, get ready, step five, go. Step six, get ready, go. I say, come. But if I need to change stuff, I need to know why I want to change. So step six is about, you know, where's all this bad stuff kind of, you know, where's all these devices you've developed to kind of hold yourself back? Do you know what I mean? To stop you growing, stop you kind of like. It's like Emily was talking about, if you don't do nothing, you will not get criticised. You know, it's a surefire way not to get criticised. If you be nothing, say nothing, do nothing, you know, you will not get criticised. You know what I mean? I had to develop a fear, I had to kind of the courage to fail. Do you know what I mean? It might work, it might not. You know what I mean? It might happen, it might not. You know, what I do for a living, I have to kind of lock the time and kind of say, well, it might work, it might not. People say nice things to me, my arrogance is, oh, they're lying. You know what I mean? A guy came up to me last night, he said to me, when you walk in a room, John, a room lights up, right? Well, okay. Walked away, right, now my arrogance had just, well, what's this game? What's in that? You don't know me. You know what I mean? But otherwise, I go with it. No, because I know best, see, that's my arrogance. And my perfectionism is, well, stop me doing anything if I can't do it right. You know what I mean? I'll concentrate on the faults, my own faults, and the faults of others. You know what I mean? And that's when I come to, I pull things apart. You know, self-pity, I'm exaggerating, you know, the wrongs that are done to me, my perfectionism, you know what I mean, my grandiosity, my self-importance, all this stuff. And then when you identify, step seven, it starts to kind of dissipate, it starts to go. You know what I mean? I start hanging around. I believe I am, you know, you are the company you keep. As archaic as it sounds, it sounds like something Nan says, you know, you are the company you keep, John, but it's true. My mates, you know what I mean? When I was early in recovery, right, I used to go hang out with people who were, you know, look, they weren't criminals, right? But, you know, they thought they were criminals. And I used to go football with them and wonder why I come home. I felt like I needed some kind of, like, spiritual shower. You know what I mean? Just kind of get the same, right, you know, and they're all taking a piss. Someone goes to the car, seems to be, he's a mugger, he's a mugger. John's a mugger, you know what I mean? And then I hang out with my mates in recovery, you know what I mean? Everyone's kind of growing up and getting good and getting cool and doing stuff, you know what I mean? And kind of saying, well, you want to do that, John? Yeah, I forgot, that's brilliant, you're doing that. You know what I mean? It's fantastic and encouraging you. And I think, okay, you are the company you keep, John. You hang out with cool people. People who feed you rather than kind of like Emily said, you know what I mean? Kind of sort of drain you. A bit snide about you. You know what I mean? Then you hang out with you know, kind of people who kind of love you, you know, who care for you. You feel good. You know, it's you know, it's quite simple, really. I made amends to some people. Some people said, well, hey, ho, it's all about you as ever, John. Other people said, you know, I'm really glad you're doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? You're staying clean, you're not making a mess. You know what I mean? Because I believe these amends steps is like, I'm a big boy now, I'm 55 years of age. If I make a mess, I've got to clear it up. You know what I mean? I can't let other people clear it up. My mum's not going to clear it up. If I'm rude to people, if I come to write and run up debts and that, I've got to clear it up. You know, but if I want to be treated like a kind of decent man, which I, you know, that's why I aspire to be, there's a little bit of action in that. You know, I have to come to behave like a decent man, you know what I mean? I can't leave a mess. And step 10 I love as well, you know what I mean? I kind of love step 2, I love step 3, I love step 4, step 5. I love all the steps. And step 10 is about like clearing up that mess as I go along. Try not to leave, you know what I mean, like a nasty taste in anyone's mouth. I don't always get it right because life and recovery is like a contact ball. And you know, that's true. And I have another thing, right, it's like when I'm safe, I continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm safe, I probably admit. Because a lot of the time, I'm a kid, right, you know, who comes from a very frightening place, you know what I mean? My mum used to sort of wake me up by slapping me, you know what I mean? Cheers, Charlie. There was a hierarchy between me, my mum and my brother, and it all shit run downhill to me. I would take the blame for stuff that's not my fault, you know what I mean? I'm not exactly coming... confessing to murders or anything, you know what I mean? I didn't do. But I feel guilt and shame about stuff that isn't my fault. And I have to kind of, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want to get all kind of legalese on you, but when I'm wrong, I will admit it. If I'm not wrong, I won't. You know what I mean? And that's sort of been the growth for me. step 11 is about kind of feeding myself kind of well, looking after myself, exercising, being with good people, connecting with the good part of myself and feeding the good part of myself. Meditation is sitting there sometimes just for 5 minutes, drinking Earl Grey, staring out the window, thinking I'm okay, I've got everything I need today. Prayer is to ask. If I don't ask, I don't get. I get up in the morning and I ask for a clean day. That's, I don't know who I pray for, what I just say, please, whoever. And at the end, I kind of say, thanks for that. You know what I mean? I went for a period when I was about 18 years clean. I ran up a shitload of debt, right? It's a funny story, but it's not a funny story, right? But I got a lot of money, right, and I thought I was rich. But I started spending the money like an addict spends the money. Like I was saying about when I was using drugs, I gathered a momentum spending the money. I didn't slow down. I gathered a momentum, and I ended up in a place where I couldn't pay the mortgage, and there was no money coming in. I had a lot of commitments, I owed a shitload of money, and I was worried about losing the house that I got when I came out of treatment. It was actually in King's Cross, not Regent, when I came out. King's across, you know, I mean, it's gone up now, through Bloomsbury, through to Bloomsbury. And I was really worried. And I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be sweating, I'd be worried, I didn't know what I was worried about. And, you know, and it was getting really kind of like, you know, and I was sat in Oxford Circus Station one night, and I was, the train coming, I was sat on the bench, and I was holding the bench, right, because there was still 1%, 2%, 3% that wanted to jump under the train. And that had gone away completely in recovery, and it crept back, because I was in this kind of really kind of quite desperate place. I was rock bottoming around this money. And a friend of mine said to me, he says, here's your prayers, Sean, right? You get up in the morning, or you wake up in the morning, you say, whatever. And when at night you say, enough. Whatever in the morning, enough at night when you're going through this crisis. You go to meetings, you share, you try not to leave yourself too raw or vulnerable. You share what you think will help that meeting. You stay in contact with your sponsor and your sponsees, who are absolutely brilliant, my sponsees. You read a little bit of literature. You don't use. You hold your nerve. And it's what we tell people when they're, I was 18 years clean, it's what we tell people when they're 2 days clean. It's the same thing. There's no esoteric, you're 12 years clean now, you can come into the inner circle. Sadly. I still went 24 years clean, I said, now you can come into the inner circle. But there is, this is it, this is what we do. What you see is what you get. You know, recovery is about staying clean, growing. What Emily was talking about is kind of saying, this works for a while, doesn't work anymore. I need to move on. You know what I mean? Kind of, and you know, I've had different phases, different kind of shades, different, you know, like of recovery. But step 12 for me is about kind of being honest in the meeting and kind of saying, look, I'm a very cynical guy. You know, I'm too cool for my own good sometimes. But when I get cynical when I don't understand stuff. And when I feel a little bit weak or powerless, you know what I mean? But I'm at my best when I'm helping someone, as naff as that sounds, you know what I mean? I'm at my best when I'm saying to someone, welcome. You know what I mean? It's the most civilised word in any language, is welcome. You know what I mean? It, you know, we're saying, all right, mate, how you doing? I sit down, have a cup of tea, kiss up, mate. You don't know a guy from Adam. You don't know if he's a day clean, you don't know if he's 30 years clean, you don't know. Come in, mate, sit down, you know, be all right, mate. That is what this fellowship's all about. It's watching each other's backs, helping each other out. It's kind of simple stuff. I keep coming back because I need to keep coming back because my head, you know, my illness has a policy statement there. And the policy statement is, my job, John, is to fuck you up. Right? I'll be awake before you're awake. And I'll be there after you go to sleep. And my job is to fuck you up, okay? And I'm thinking about new ways. I'm like in the research department at Apple. I'm thinking about new ways to make a mess of your head. Okay. So, recovery has got to be there. Kind of bang, bang, you know. I'm not talking about some big cosmic struggle here. I'm talking about John's head, you know. Maybe John's thinking, oh, okay, that's a good idea, yeah. I'll throw the kettle out of the window, that's good. I've been waiting for this kettle, a tin of pasta. Oh, well, this looks like a nice pesto sauce. I think I'll throw it over the aisle, I'll see what it is. You know what I mean? It's all goes, it's mad, you know. Old timers, new people keep coming back, you know, we need it, we really, really need each other, you know, everyone here in this meeting tonight has got to, it's kind of, we need everyone here, you know, we just kind of need everyone, you know, we need each other, you know, I mean, it's like, there's nothing for me out there anymore, in addiction, you know, the addiction will eat me up, bang, I'll be gone, you know what I mean, and I keep coming back, like I say, because my head is, you know, it just gets weird, if I don't. You know what I mean? And I keep coming back. I love recovery. I love my friends. I'm really proud of my friends. I'm really proud of everyone who's clean. There's a funny thing. I was watching this documentary. It's about these Marines. And they was up in this firebase. And one Marine says, he says, yeah, he says, even the people you hate, you love. And I'm like that about people in recovery. Even the people I don't like, I love them. It's weird, but you know, that's kind of what it is for me. You know what I mean? I think I fulfilled my contractual compliment. whatever, you know what I mean? But I'm going to stop talking now. Thank you very much. Thank you.